I'm Dan Rodericks, and this is Midday. In Washington, Pope Francis urges the nation's leaders to help immigrants, defend religious and ethnic minorities, address income inequality, and climate change. Fritz Bauerschmidt, chair of the Department of Theology at Loyola University, Maryland, shares his reaction to the Pope's historic address to Congress. Also this hour, some advice about nutrition and weight loss from the food MD, Dr. Jerry Mullen, digestive health specialist from Johns Hopkins. And in the second hour of the show, some advice for men and the women who advise them on the clothes they wear. Fashion expert Bruce Boyer and Baltimore tailor Christopher Schaefer on hats, suits, slacks, socks, and shoes, top to bottom tips on men's style. Midday starts after the news from NPR. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Midday. Dan Rodericks here. Thanks again for joining us and making Midday part of your day. A busy show in the next 2 hours. Dr. Jerry Mullen is back with us, one of our most popular guests here on Midday. I say that because of the number of phone calls we receive with comments and questions for Dr. Mullen and emails that we receive here whenever he's on. Jerry Mullen, the food MD, digestive health specialist from Johns Hopkins, will be joining us to talk about nutrition and weight loss in this hour of the show. Also, in the second hour today, some advice for men and the significant others who advise them on the clothes they wear. Fashion expert Bruce Boyer will be joining us, and Baltimore tailor Christopher Schaefer, and they'll be talking about everything, hats, suits, slacks, socks, shoes, top to bottom, a bit of history on men's wear, and some tips on men's style. That's all coming up today. But we start the show with some reaction to Pope Francis's address to Congress. The Pope just within the last couple of hours urging the nation's leaders to help immigrants, defend religious and ethnic minorities, address income inequality, and climate change. Fritz Bauerschmidt is back with us, chair of the Department of Theology at Loyola University, Maryland, to share his reaction to the Pope's historic address. Fritz, nice to see you again.
Good to see you, Dan.
And David Cloutier joining us by phone from Mount St. Mary's University, where he is associate professor of theology and has joined us from time to time to talk about this very interesting Pope Francis. First, we'll go to Fritz to get your reaction to this speech. What did you hear today?
Well, I was saying to somebody just a minute ago that I generally, with human beings, try and keep my expectations low, and with the church, I try and keep them even lower. But even with my low expectations, I mean, I was amazed by the speech. It was far more than I imagined the Pope would say. I presumed, like any head of state, he would be sort of tiptoeing around hot button issues, but he certainly was willing to grasp the nettle. I thought it was a brilliantly constructed speech, because he constructed it around four Americans: Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King, Dorothy Day, and Thomas Merton. Now, of course, everybody in the chamber knew Lincoln and King. Day and Merton, that's a little bit more insider Catholic baseball, but they are often considered two of the most significant American Catholics of the 20th century. And he used them to talk about, to develop key themes. With Lincoln, it was the theme of liberty. And there you heard this controversial question of religious liberty. With King, it was about rights for all people. With Dorothy Day, it was social justice.
And founder of the Catholic Worker.
Founder of the Catholic Worker. So you know your insider Catholic baseball.
Oh, I do. I do. I'm a big fan of Dorothy Day.
As am I. Yeah. And then yeah. Merton, the famous, or famous in quotation marks, Trappist monk, to develop the theme of dialogue and contemplation. And I thought it was just a brilliant way of structuring his talk by, in a sense, putting faces with the ideas. And I think that that's really what he's about.
Before we go to David, I just wanted to say I'm with you on that, because when I heard him invoke Dorothy Day, I was looking at John Boehner and wondering, I better Google that one. But anyway, David Cloutier, your comments about Pope Francis's address.
Well, I agree with Fritz. I think structuring it around those four figures was great. And Day and Merton were like my two Catholic heroes in college, so I'm hoping they get memorials on the Mall now that the other two have. Right? I was very struck by that, but I was also struck by how positive and affirming Francis's tone was. He was not fire and brimstone about America. He was very much about appealing to the better angels of our American spirit, appealing to our hospitality, appealing to our sense of freedom, appealing to our sense of cooperation with the neighbor. He had a lovely image of how individual workers contribute to the solidarity of society by doing small things every day. I thought that was a very kind of America at its best image. And so I think the reaction to this will be strong from both sides of the aisle. There's no question that he hit strongly on certain issues. I would say he was strongest on immigration. Understandably, that's such a pastoral concern for the church in America. And he made some very strong claims about immigration and also about the abolition of the death penalty. He was explicit about that and called for the global abolition of the death penalty. So that was very striking.
Can either of you tell me about more specifically what he said about immigrants? Did he refer specifically to undocumented immigrants? Because I was a little distracted during parts of the speech.
Well, I think one of the money quotes from the speech is where he said, we must not be taken aback by the numbers, but see them as persons looking into their faces. And I think that's, in my experience, that this is the real hurdle to get over on the immigration issue. Is my experience is when somebody knows an undocumented immigrant personally,
right,
suddenly their attitude changes. And they might even say all those other undocumented immigrants are terrible. But, you know, Julio, who whatever, comes in and works for my landscaper, or, you know, whatever way in which you've encountered Julio, he's okay. I certainly want him to be able to stay. And I think, again, it was this idea that Francis doesn't like big ideas. Well, of course, he likes big ideas, but only in as much as they're attached to concrete people. And I thought his appeal to, I am the son of an immigrant. You know, look at me, I am the son of an immigrant. Many of you are sons of immigrants. And I noticed the camera pan to Marco Rubio, who was wiping away a tear. The Pope has an amazing ability to take these big issues and make them personal.
Was there anything, David or Fritz, chastising about the address? I mean, was he finger pointing at all at Congress, not actually using his finger, but because there, in the setup to this, you know, lots of talk about the divided Congress and a Pope maybe calling on them to collaborate more on these significant issues.
Dan, I'm sure that a lot of attention will be paid to these particular issues, but actually the beginning of the speech, the first 5 minutes or so, was very powerful. He talked about the importance of understanding politics as aimed at the common good, and he spent a lot of time calling people to fraternity and cooperation. He has a line where he called for a renewed spirit of fraternity and solidarity, cooperating generously for the common good. So I don't know anybody who could watch that, knowing the present state of Congress, and think, you know, he's obviously finger wagging at them. It was very gentle, but I think he was calling on them to be true legislators, and I thought that was a very powerful way to begin the speech.
Also, may I just ask a question to either of you for your impressions of how well it was, how easy or difficult it was to understand the Pope? At the beginning, I was having some trouble understanding every word, and I thought his English got better during the course of this address.
I think he became more comfortable as he went on. I think you do have to listen carefully, and there are occasionally I'll be sort of shaking my head saying, "No, I missed that."
Mm-hmm.
But I think for somebody who is really learning English relatively late in life, he did a remarkably good job. And my sense was, from the reaction of the audience, that people were able to understand him quite well.
Absolutely. He got all the applause lines, right? The golden rule was the biggest applause line, I think, in the whole speech. So I think it was a powerful image for me to watch Francis speaking in English in that situation with John Boehner and Joe Biden, that we've seen so many presidents, so many speakers there, to actually see the Pope there and speaking in English was very powerful. And it tended to lead me, at least watching it online, to concentrate very intently on what the Pope was saying. And so I didn't have any difficulty.
I think it's also almost a metaphor for some of what he said about dialogue. And that was a big theme that he used Thomas Merton to develop, because Merton was a real pioneer in interreligious dialogue in the 20th century. And the idea that you try and encounter the other in their own language, in their own worldview and mindset, that you try and, at least for that moment of encounter and dialogue, to place yourself into their world. And I think, in a sense, it was an almost acting, his willingness to do something very difficult for him, which is to speak in English, mm-hmm. is a way of acting mm-hmm. out, and in a sense, displaying for Congress what maybe the two sides of the aisles need to do, is trying to inhabit each other's worldview and language, and then dialogue can happen.
And along those lines, what the Pope did yesterday is significant, right? Because he canonized a saint in the United States. Usually you got to go to Rome for that.
Right. Yeah. So he's coming to us. He's bringing the show to us rather than, you know, expecting us to go there.
What was that like? Fritz Bauerschmidt was there yesterday, correct?
Yes, me and 25,000 of my closest friends. I mean, in many ways, it was a remarkable vision of the church. The Mass was celebrated largely in Spanish, though there was some Latin, a little bit of English, not a lot, but English kind of took its place alongside Tagalog and Korean and Japanese and a variety of other languages. And it was, I think, a really remarkable gathering of the church in all its diversity.
Well, listen, thank you for being here. I'm curious now to hear the reaction of Washington to this and the rest of the country, from what this Pope had to say today. I don't know if we're going to see legislation passed tomorrow on immigration, but it would be interesting to see if this has any influence at all.
From my perspective, I can only hope.
Yeah. David?
Yeah, I would agree. To see all those Catholics, Biden, Boehner, Justice Roberts, John Kerry, Marco Rubio, to see all of them listening to the Pope together, I feel hopeful, but, you know, who knows?
David Cloutier is Associate Professor of Theology at Mount St. Mary's University in Emmitsburg. Thanks for joining us on short notice today, David.
Oh, great to be with you, Dan.
Yeah, same here. I'd say the same to Fritz Bauerschmidt, who's chair of the Department of Theology at Loyola University, Maryland. Thanks for getting over here to share your thoughts on this historic day.
Thanks for asking me.
Thanks very much, Fritz. And everybody, please stay tuned for more Midday coming up. We're going to change the subject significantly here. We're going to talk about diet and health with the food MD, Dr. Jerry Mullen, Associate Professor of Medicine at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine and a national expert on integrative gastroenterology, with digestive health. His new book is The Gut Balance Revolution. Actually, it's been out for a few months. Tells about how changing your diet to include things like pickles, sauerkraut, kimchi can improve your overall health. And speaking of kimchi, the last time Dr. Mullen was on the show, we got into this subject of, you know, what's good to eat for the microbiome, right, for the gut. And he mentioned kimchi, and I like kimchi, but I thought, you know, kimchi can be a little expensive if you go out and try to buy it. So I thought I would make my own kimchi, and I did, and we're going to do a taste test after this break on Midday when Dr. Mullen joins us. This is the first day of WYPR's fall membership drive, so we're here to ask you to show your support for this fine public radio station. Andy Beanstalk and Sheila Cass standing by to tell you how you do that. Thank you, Andy. And with Dr. Jerry Mullen, the food MD, internist, digestive health expert, associate professor of medicine at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine. Nice to have you back on the show, Dr. Mullen.
Three times the charm.
This is your third visit here, because people always have questions for you, and your research is really interesting, your practice. The last book You've had a couple of books. The latest one is The Gut Balance Revolution. And I thought, as we go on, as we get started here, maybe to recap some of the basic principles and ideas behind your practice and your suggestions for people who want to lose weight.
Yes, yes. The book itself really outlines a three-step program to lose weight but rebuild your gut microbiome, which really is the control station for overall health.
All that healthy bacteria that you need
gut. For many years, we've kind of ignored it as being just something that's there without much of a function, junk in, junk out. But we've learned now through a scientific explosion of information that these gut bacteria really control our physiology and are vital to our health. So we want to optimize the balance of the bacteria and the communities and the ecology of bacteria so we can really live optimally a good, long, healthy life, like Yogi Berra.
Like Yogi Berra did to the age of 90, right?
Yep.
Is it because we don't restore bacteria to our gut? We don't eat the things that restore bacteria? Or feed it?
Well, it's a combination of things. We do things to, I wouldn't say destroy it, but harm the bacteria that we have, the good bacteria we have. And we've talked about in the last show antibiotics and how we overprescribe antibiotics, overuse antibiotics. And now because of resistance, we have super bugs that are very hard to treat. And those antibiotics actually adversely affect our microbiome, which make it very difficult to restore, you know, good harmony and balance in the gut.
Mm-hmm.
So I think one thing, we cut down on the things that are harmful for us, like the antibiotics that are overused. And then you want to have foods that rebuild the microbiome, like this lovely lunch you had brought me today.
This is lunch. This is more of a condiment, wouldn't you say?
It's food.
The last time Dr. Mullen was on the show, he was talking about some of the foods that you think are good for restorative, right? For the microbiome. And you mentioned pickles, you mentioned sauerkraut, you mentioned yogurt, certain kind of yogurt.
Well, not all yogurt. I talked about White Mountain yogurt that I get locally at Fresh Market. But it's because that's Bulgarian yogurt. It's in the glass. It's in the glass case, and it also has 90 billion, you know, organisms per serving, which is unheard of in a yogurt.
And what does that do for your system?
It really helps induce a colony of friendly flora that is very healthy. It provides friendly flora. It also really is great for your immune system and balancing your immunity. So it really is a good way of introducing these friendly microbes. You know, one way is by the food that you had brought today, the kimchi.
Okay. I decided to make my own kimchi.
The Galloping Gourmet here.
Right. Well, I thought kimchi always sounds, it's exotic. It's basically cabbage, spiced cabbage, fermented cabbage. It's rotting cabbage that tastes so good.
Absolutely.
I bought a jar of it in the Giant it was $5.99. It wasn't that big a jar. I thought, well, that's kind of pricey. What's in this anyway? There were cucumbers in it. There were some onions in it, but it was mostly Napa cabbage.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, maybe I can make that. Napa cabbage actually came down in price this year. It wasn't too bad. They had a Napa cabbage shortage, I think, last year or the year before. And then I looked at the recipe for it, and basically you chop this up, you add some ginger, some garlic, some spice.
Mm.
I put a little soy sauce in it, and you toss it as if you were tossing a salad.
Yes.
You're not cooking this.
Correct.
And then it goes into jars.
Yes.
And you leave it out, you let it ferment in a jar for a day or two until some of the gases build up inside. And then according to the recipe I followed, you unscrew that cap and release the gases. Rescrew the cap back on, put the jar in a refrigerator for a month or two. You need to be patient with this.
Right. It's unlike kefir, which has a similar process where you take these cultures that you buy in a package and then you add, let's say, milk,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you leave it out overnight and then you strain the next day and you put it in the fridge and start using. Now, here you have to be a little more patient, but it's the same principle.
Now, this kimchi that I'm putting into a plate here for Dr. Mullen actually is made with some red cabbage, too.
I see that. And the onion. Look at the onion.
There's onion in there.
Beautiful.
I had cucumbers. I don't know if cucumbers got into this batch or not.
Beautiful.
The first batch,
I really enjoyed.
I thought it was really good. I love kimchi, and I thought I did pretty well here. And so this has more red cabbage in it than the first batch did. And it's still crunchy, so maybe it needs to...
This is good.
Do you like it a little softer than that? A little more?
This is perfect.
It's basically been fermenting. This is about a month old. So in another month, it might even be better. Mm-hmm. But you like things that crunch like that. Fresh. Mm. Not fresh, but this is close to fresh. I didn't cook it. Nothing's cooked.
Excellent.
There.
Very tasty.
You like it?
Plus the garlic and the ginger. Yeah. These are all good anti-inflammatory spices that are also great at inhibiting inflammation. And inflammation ultimately helps make us fat and gives us chronic degenerative disease. So this is really a nice anti-inflammatory food that also provides these microbes that are really essential for balancing our health.
Can you explain that a little bit more, the inflammation? I was reading about that on your website. So I want to understand a little bit more what you mean about these inflammations that cause, that contribute to chronic diseases, right?
Yes.
Dr. Mullen's finishing chewing.
I have a mouthful, right?
Well, chewing is important. some kimchi is further along than that, right? I think people in Korea actually bury the kimchi crockery in the ground and leave it for half a year or something, right?
It's like wine, huh? No, the important thing is that, you know, we need a certain amount of inflammation to fight infections, right? We need like a certain amount of inflammation, but uncontrolled or chronic inflammation is very bad for us. And that can set off a number of disease processes, right? Arthritis and diabetes and cancer and obesity and insulin dysregulation. So when inflammation is meant to be a very acute response to a foreign invasion, but when our bodies make it chronic or when it gets out of control, that's when we get into trouble.
Hmm. It sounds like more and more, because of research, what others are coming up with in this field, you become more and more convinced that so much of our overall health stems from what's going on down there in the gut.
Well, because
you sound like you really went over to that, right?
Yeah, it controls immunity. 70% of our immune system's in our gut, and the bacteria are what educate the immunity. They develop immunity. So if we don't have the right bacteria when we're born or in the first 6 months of life, our immune system's not as healthy. So it's critical to really regulate your bacteria, because that's ultimately going to help control your immunity and inflammation or your inflammatory responses.
All right, let me ask you this. On behalf of listeners who may be wondering about this question. So are you saying that this is like kimchi's a condiment, so this might be something I eat maybe once a day, have a small dish of it,
yes,
or something?
Side dish, yes.
A side dish.
Yes.
And then what about the rest of my diet?
Don't go to McDonald's.
Well, that's what you can't. I'm assuming you're saying you can't spend a lot of time at McDonald's. You can't eat too many Entenmann's sweet cakes, right?
Right, right, right.
Right? This has got to be in balance, though. But you're saying, are you saying a diet complete, a diet that's complete with this, that's completely this? Is that, but you're saying in balance with other good foods?
Let's look at two quick things. We could also, you know, we could have a show on each one of them. Is lifestyle. You want to have a balanced lifestyle, right? And you want to have a balanced diet. So, I mean, there's been articles that I've seen lately that really very delicately talk about how a bad diet does not, outdo. You can't exercise to overcome a bad diet, right? It's like go ahead and run 20 miles and then have a pint of ice cream.
Right.
And you can, it's a wash. It's not a wash. You still have the harmful effects from that inflammatory ice cream, for example. So, you know, good exercise does not trump a bad diet, is what I meant to say.
Mm-hmm.
So, but also lifestyle-wise, stress. I mean, you could have the most stressful life and, you know, a good diet is not going to overcome or trump really a lot of stress in terms of gut health and microbiome health and all that. So what I'm saying, and the book really goes into this program, is that you need a good, rounded, you know, whole foods diet. I talk about, you know, not the fast food diets, not, you know, going to McDonald's every day, and not to pick on them or whoever else, Papa John's, and then say I can have a little yogurt or take a probiotic pill, and that's going to really negate all these other bad habits that I have. And mm-hmm. that's not the way it is. It's really to really boost and adjunct to a good, healthy diet, and that's how you really become more healthy.
And weight loss. Let's talk about that a little bit. Because so far our conversation is about the immune system and how important that is. And what about weight loss? How does this work toward weight loss?
You know, there's many, many studies that show how the gut bacteria control metabolism, right, control our response to food in terms of glycemic response, insulin response, inflammation, so on and so forth. So what we know is that when you're out of balance, that your bacteria actually make you absorb more calories and actually make you put more weight on. And when you start, they start showing this in animals and now in humans, is that when you start balancing the bacteria, your body's metabolism starts to switch into more of a weight-burning metabolism or mode.
Hmm. And you have patients that this has happened to?
Oh, yeah. They're not eating
just kimchi and pickles and yogurt, right?
They're going through this program. I mean, the program is first eliminate the bad stuff and start to, you know, weed out this, you know, your garden in the early spring, and then you start to rebuild and reboot and renew your inside and let those bacteria do their thing.
Do the patients you see eat meat, eat proteins, source of proteins, chicken, red meats, pork?
For vegetarians, which, you know, it can be challenging to follow diets for some vegans, but here you just want to, in the first, cut down on really bad carbs that feed, you know, these very pathogenic bacteria. And you're on a higher protein diet in the beginning, but you're very selective about your proteins. I like wild fish, for example, or game meat, right, like buffalo or grass-fed beef, you know, or antibiotic-free chicken that now is becoming more popular as a sales thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? Like Purdue saying...
Purdue made a big announcement.
We've been doing this for a while. Mm-hmm. You know, they're catching up with the Joneses. But these antibiotics that are measurable in meat actually harm our bacteria in our gut. And that's been proven.
Rodale Books is the publisher of The Gut Balance Revolution by our guest in this hour of the show, Dr. Jerry Mullen from Johns Hopkins, the food MD. If you have questions for him, this is the number to call. This is a good time to call if you have a question for Dr. Mullen, 410-662-8780. Or if you're listening outside of our area online, it's 866-661-9309. You can also submit a comment or question about weight loss and diet and Dr. Mullen's theories. Midday@wypr.org is the number. And coming up in the second hour of Midday today, some advice from men and the significant others who advise them on the clothes they wear. Fashion expert Bruce Boyer joining us, and Baltimore tailor Christopher Schaefer. And they're going to talk about, well, we'll be taking phone calls, so we'll talk about anything you'd like to talk about. Suits, slacks, shoes, hats, the old socks, shoes, pants, Nexus issue, top to bottom, a history and the principles of men's fashion coming up in the second hour of our show. We continue our conversation in this hour with Dr. Jerry Mullen from Johns Hopkins, the food MD. And we have some calls and comments for you, Dr. Mullen. So we'll jump right in there. Jerry Mullen, the author of The Gut Balance Revolution, his most recent book, which was published in June. Tim, calling from Emmitsburg. Welcome to Midday, yes. Tim.
Good afternoon. Great to be with you. Just a very quick comment and then a quick question. I heard Dr. Mullen when he was last on your show a couple of months ago, was intrigued, bought the book, and have been following it ever since. I've lost about 40 pounds in, I don't know, 2.5 or 3 months, and it's easy to follow, and I have only good things to say about it. So thank you very much, Dr. Mullen, for writing the book, doing all of the research, and here's one very satisfied reader, and it's worked great for me.
All right, Tim, don't go away. You're not going to hang up yet, are you?
No. I had a short question.
Oh, you have a question, because I had a couple questions for you. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Mullen, then I'll follow up.
Okay, great. Somewhere in the book, Dr. Mullen, you recommend that not drinking carbonated beverages. I immediately cut out the sugar and the artificial sweeteners, but I really like these. It's just carbonated water sometimes with a little natural flavoring in it, but you recommend against that. And so I cut it out. But why? What's the issue with the carbonation?
Well, first of all, congratulations on what a success story you are. And I'm very thrilled. It's really nice when you go through this. It's a work, these books. It's a real journey. And to see that, you know, the work, the fruit of your labor has really been able to help other people accomplish what I accomplished for myself many years ago. It's just really, it's really a moment for me that I really, you know, it's great talking to you about this.
Can I ask you a question before you answer
yes.
Tim's question?
Yes.
What do you think of the weight loss in the time that he described? Did you say, Tim, you said 2.5, 3 months?
When were you last on the air?
He was on in June.
Yeah, so I've lost all of that weight. It took Amazon 2 days or something to deliver the book. Now, I went for, to put some context, I'm a big man. I'm 6'6". I was 275 when I started. I'm down to 235 now.
Keep going.
And I've always had good luck losing weight, but only temporarily when I would do the low-carb diet, and that's a big part of phase one.
Right.
But I consider myself now in phase three, sort of the maintenance phase.
Good.
I don't think of this as time-limited. I'm going to eat this way for the rest of my life.
That's what it was meant to be. As you know, in the book, I started out at 293 when I was, you know, in high school, and I got down, at least to 160 at one point. So
I can't imagine you at 293. I mean, the man that I've known here has been on the show. It's your third visit to Midday. And how old are you now?
As the Beatles would say, I'm not half the man I used to be.
How old are you now?
55.
And so you lost that weight at what age?
I was 17, 18, 19. So in that
in your teen years, you lost that weight.
Yeah, yeah. When I was starting college, I really had a wake-up call.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So his question about carbonated beverages.
Yeah, well, you know, the idea there is that you're just like if you ate a lot of red meat or a very high-protein diet for a long time, but mainly red meat, is that your blood becomes acidic. Because of the carbonated beverages become really, you know, acidic in your bloodstream. And so that your bones try to buffer that acidic load. And that will eventually cause a thinning of your bones. And that's the main reason to avoid that.
Okay.
It's acid-base balance.
It doesn't have much to do with the gut balance.
No, it's about acid-base balance more than anything.
Well, Tim, I had a question for you. You said you're going to go on with this diet that's described in Dr. Mullen's book, The Rest of Your Life. What are you gonna have for dinner tonight? Do you know?
I do. I'm a busy guy. I'm actually a colleague of David Cloutier, and so I'm a busy man, and I like things to be simple. So tonight I probably will just make a salad with lots of greens, blueberries, maybe some feta cheese, perhaps some boiled eggs for a little bit of a protein, and then olive oil and vinegar. I eat a lot of salads, clean protein, the highest quality that I can find and afford, and then the kinds of fermented foods that he recommends. Fortunately, I love all of those, so it's a treat when I eat plain yogurt with a little bit of blueberries or strawberries or kefir or some cabbage or sauerkraut. You know, to me, that's like eating dessert. It tastes so good to me. So I think of this as just a lifestyle change. The results are so good. My energy has increased so much. I just cannot imagine going back to the old way of eating where I would essentially eat what was ever handy.
Stay on the line, Tim. I want to get your name and address. I'm going to send you some kimchi. But go ahead. Good. What did you want to say, Dr.?
No, thank you very much again. And it's nice for you to share your story with all our listeners. And if you want to share with the Amazon readers as well, post a review. Thank you.
Mm, way to go. All right, Tim, thanks for that call. And I think it's against the law for me to mail you my kimchi. It might explode between here and Emmitsburg. Okay. Let's go to Joanne in Kingsville. You're on with Dr. Jerry Mullen. Hi.
Hi, Dan. Hi, Jerry. I am loving this program. I was diagnosed with Crohn's 4 years ago, and immediately they put me on steroids and wanted me to take the Humira route, and I just dug in my heels and could not bring myself to do that. So I did a lot of research and looked for different doctors who I knew were geared towards a natural approach. Through what you're talking about, eating lots of raw fruits and vegetables, and I go to the Amish market and buy a quart of their raw sauerkraut. I leave it on the counter and eat forkfuls whenever I go by. Lots of water, I take enzymes and some fiber, a natural fiber, and de-stressing, just making myself breathe deeply, relaxing yoga. It's a whole lifestyle, and I am so much healthier now and have no side effects from drugs. And I I just really appreciate you getting the word out. And my friends know me as the person with stomach problems who's gotten help. So, you know, they come to me and I can't just say, well, eat sauerkraut or drink more water or de-stress. It's everything. And it's an effort, but it's worth it.
Well, thank you very much for your comments. I'm really glad you're doing well. With a condition that's an inflammatory disease of the gut that over time can become, you know, quite problematic. And the microbiome clearly plays a role. Imbalanced microbiome plays a role in the pathogenesis of this disease, Crohn's, with inflammation. And the fact that you're able to balance your microbiome so well, I'm sure, is really helping you in the long term.
Way to go, Joanne. Thank you for that call. Good luck to you. Danny in Harford County with a question for Dr. Mullins. This is an amusing question.
Dr. Mullins, good morning. Thanks for being on. Thanks, Dan, for having him.
Sure.
My question is, why is Maryland so negative on raw milk? I have to travel to Pennsylvania to get raw milk or buy it as a dog food. And why aren't there more ice cream recipes for ice cream addicts that would be healthy? I mean, that would be a great book. I'm sure it would be a bestseller. And how do we fight these laws that get in everybody's business and tell you what you can and can't eat when they don't make sense anymore, based on the fact that people who sell their poo for the biome that is then given to patients who have Crohn's disease are so highly paid and it's so restrictive, their diet and everything, and they have to pass so many tests. It's more than the NASA astronauts have to pass.
Can you
testing.
Thank you, Danny. Can you address the dairy products and the gut balance? And actually, Danny was wondering if there's a good gut balance ice cream recipe.
Well, you know, I mean, to all your comments, there is a gentleman, his name is Steve Belikoff from northern Baltimore County, who lives by Pennsylvania, who's an orthopedic researcher at Hopkins, who has tried to do research on raw milk and has been blocked by legislation and, you know, to pursue that. So I understand.
To pursue research into it?
Yeah, you know, and I was going to be part of, we're going to do a clinical study and see if, you know, about raw milk consumption. Instead, we did a survey showing those who drank raw milk had less digestive symptoms than those who didn't in a pool of people who were consumers in southern Pennsylvania. But to your point also, there are companies pursuing probiotic ice creams. I was at one of the Nutrition Week meetings, and there were at least two companies that were out sampling, allowing us to sample probiotic ice creams. And one of them, I believe, was DuPont, believe it or not.
What about frozen yogurt?
Well, frozen yogurt from a frozen yogurt point of view, yeah. I mean, certainly it has a good bacteria in it, but people like ice cream. And believe it or not, there's not a market for it.
Yeah.
I mean, there aren't people selling it. So that's, you know, it's out there.
They aren't selling probiotic
ice cream.
Yeah.
But DuPont was you know, having it tested.
Peter, a quick question. go right ahead. And sorry, we're down to our last minute with Dr.
Cool.
Mullen.
I'm wondering, I have a friend who's very active, eats very healthy, close to the later stages of his program, but she's still frustrated by a little bit of a weight problem. But she's also a leukemia survivor. I'm wondering if that wrecked her gut biome and maybe following the program would restore that.
A connection between a leukemia survivor would benefit from this diet?
Possibly, sure. Anyone who really has a disrupted microbiome, whether it's by chemo, whether it's by antibiotics, whether it's by bad food. I mean, this is a program that's talking about really restoring your inner garden.
Okay. Again, the name of the book is The Gut Balance Revolution. The author has been our guest in this hour of the show, Dr. Jerry Mullen, Gerard Mullen. You can find him on the web. He has his own website. He also is an associate professor of medicine at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine. So thank you for this, and please enjoy the rest of that kimchi, if you like it. Now your tip is that to shred it a bit more than
yes.
I did. Chop it a little bit more.
A little bit more, yes.
And so it's a little... okay. And then what do you think? Another month or so in the jar before we...
getting there.
Yeah, it's getting there. It shouldn't be as crunchy as it is.
Yeah, I like it, though. I like it.
Thank you very much. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in to our first hour of Midday. We're going to take a break here and to ask you to support your public radio, WYPR. And then we'll have a second hour of Midday all about menswear. So here's what we need you to do. Andy Beanstalk will tell you what to do, and Sheila Cast, how you can show your support for WYPR.